I have made a great discovery. What I love is forever with me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. I've made a great discovery. What I love is forever with me. What do you love? What do I love? Well,
how about this?
I love life, and I want to live, to drink of life's nectar, take all it can give. I love life. I love life, and it's with me forever. I love life, and I enjoy life, and I enjoy all the experiences that I have in life, and I enjoy all of the things that I do in life, and I enjoy all the people I meet in life, or create in life, because I don't meet anybody. I create people in my world, and there they are. I create love in my world, and there it is. I was going to say lovers. I create lovers in my world, and there they are. I create beautiful experiences in my world, and there they are. I create everything. But you see, I love to be a creator, and I'm a good creator. I have just so much fun creating. One of the most vital, valuable, important things, and that's a topic that I want to work on here, is the now. The now. So, I've been working with a number of students, and these students are just fantastic. They're just amazing, remarkable students. They have been with me for considerable time, and they have written theses and dissertations, and they have written the articles, and they have written about the essays that are required for the lessons, and they are fantastic. They are glorious. They're intellectual. They're glorious, but they're true, but they're glorious. When I say intellectual, the person wrote them out of their mind. Now, when the person writes them out of their heart, then it belongs to them. You see, so long as we have a philosophy, and that philosophy is what we prattle, what we speak, what we give out as we talk to others, that's wonderful. Oh my, aren't we good? Everybody who joins the University of Healing and says they want to become a minister, I say, well, why do you want to become a minister? I want to help people. Oh, no, no, no. You are, always were, and always will be a minister. But first, you're a minister to yourself. And first, you see, this is what our philosophy teaches. First, you see yourself whole and perfect. And then you see everybody in the world whole and perfect. And when you see everyone in the world whole and perfect, there's nothing to help, is there? There's nothing to help. Someone comes up to you and says, oh boy, would I love to be take a trip to Africa. And you say, it is done. What do you mean it's done? Well, your desire is manifest already in your heart. Now, just let it be. Let it be. You put the cause in motion. Those are the things that you do. Now, that's all it is. Let it be. But I want you to speak my word and pray for me that it works out that I can go to Africa and that I can go and help those poor people in Africa and do these things and do these things. Well, you know, it never works out for them. People who want to go and help people in Africa or anywhere else in the world never get to do what they want to do. You say, well, what about the missionaries who went to Hawaii and messed them up? The missionaries who went to Africa and messed them up? Yeah. Think of what the people in Africa think of the missionaries who came there and, quote, messed them up. They think they were some of the most wonderful school teachers they ever had. They learned from these teachers beautifully. They may not have appreciated their Christianity, their enforced religion that was contrary to their own, but they thought they were excellent teachers, and they don't remember that they tried to change them to Christianity. They are pseudo-Christians, like most of us are, pseudo-Christians. We're not real Christians as far as Christianity describes a Christian, because a Christian is one who believes 100% in Jesus Christ, that he was God, and he died for our sins. Now, that's what a Christian believes. Well, I like to believe in what Jesus taught. And that is the type of Christian that we share with our people. Now, again, what is this that we're talking about here? I have made the greatest, a great discovery. Whatever I love is forever with me. So if I love myself, that's forever with me, isn't it? I mean, you're going to have anybody else with you other than yourself? It's always going to be yourself. People can die and move away and change their programs, and they're not in your world anymore. But you always are. You always are. So best to start off by saying, I love me. I like me. All is in divine order. And when you do that, wow, the doors that you open for yourself. But the big thing is, when people come and they want to be a minister and they want to help other people, it's because they need help themselves. They need a lot of help. And the help that they need is this: to be aware that they're perfect, to be aware that they're divine, to be aware that they're God, to be aware that they're wonderful. You see, if every person who joins the University of Healing ends their courses with the University of Healing, graduating as a doctorate and as a minister and whatever, looks at the world and sees it as the most beautiful thing that ever existed, then that's what they are. And this is what I would like every student, every practitioner, every minister, every monk, every being who ever participates with the activities of the university and Church of God on them, I would like each of them to look at life so fantastic, so beautiful, so outstanding, so amazing, you know, because that's what they are. You see, what you love is with you forever. Do you love yourself? We've said that before. And you said, oh, yes, you do not. Do you ever say of yourself a negative thing? Do you? You ever say, I'm sick? That's not right. Is that what you want to put into your consciousness? You've got a problem. You ever say, I'm poor? I'm sad? I'm lonely? Whatever? Huh. My goodness, are you a miserable slob putting those things in your consciousness? That, and you say you don't want that, but you do. Because you want people to feel sorry for you. You want people to recognize that you're a sad sack. Well, that's a sorry comment on your divinity. We look in our world and we see our world beautiful, fantastic, glorious, wonderful, amazing. We look at our world and we see it a reflection of ourself, a reflection of who we are. And that's God in us shining out. Can you have it any better? God in us shining out. And I see with the eyes of God. I see with the eyes of God. Many great saints, great spiritual leaders, great psychologists, great philosophers have said the same thing. The eyes that look out, or the eyes that look within you, or whatever the phrase was, it's God. It's your divinity. So fall in love with your eyes. They're perfect. Fall in love with your ears. Fall in love with your senses. Because you created yourself living in those things, because those are your tactile outlets onto your universe. Love them. Love everything that's in your world. Love your dogs. Oh, that's not hard. Oh, yes, it is. When your dog does something naughty, oh, why did you do that? Bring all that dirt on the carpet that was just cleaned, you know. Why did you barf on the carpet, you know? And you know what dogs like to do? They don't want to go outside when they don't feel good. They come inside and then they go in the corner, you know, right on the carpet, in the corner, and then they barf or whatever they do. But you see, and oh, why do you do that? Well, you see, if we were spending a little more time seeing our dog whole and perfect, he wouldn't have to do that. If we were spending a little more time seeing ourselves whole and perfect. You see, because if we are so pure in our consciousness, we cannot see anything outside of ourselves other than that purity. But here comes the problem, the big, big problem. It all takes place in the now. It all happens right now. There is no tomorrow. There's no yesterday. Whatever we are thinking, saying, doing, acting upon is right in this moment. And if we ever feel this too shall pass, which is a lovely statement for humans, you know. If we ever feel this too shall pass, then we are not saying it has never happened. In my now, I am perfect. I love me. I love my now. I love this moment. I love everything that I'm aware of in this moment, that I created in this moment. I love everything. I am happy in the now. Now, now. And you see, can you do that? Well, Herb, you talked about this too shall pass. Yes, I've said that, well, gurus have said that to the king and what have you. And I said that was something to say to them, that that's only an illusion. It's only an illusion. But you see, the guru wasn't wise enough to say to the king, maybe he was wise not to say it to the king, but he was not wise enough to say to the king, whatever you see out there, king, is what you create in your consciousness. Now, you have a stinking consciousness that creates those stinking things, and if you don't like it, change your stinking consciousness. And the king would say, off with his head. You know, don't tell me that. Well, you see, you have to know how to say things so that it serves the purpose that you're faced with. But now, why would a guru who believed everything was in his mind and his heart create a king coming to him with problems? What a guru might do is create a king coming to him and saying, I have heard such good things about you, I want to share part of my wealth with you. And the guru would say, well, dump it over here with all the rest of this stuff, you know. It's just like Swami Rama's master in living with the Himalayan masters. His master had a pile of jewels and valuable things dumped in the back of his cave. And when Swami went off to the university, the master said to him, well, take a handful, or take whatever you want, and rent yourself a nice house, pay your tuition, get yourself some helpers so you don't have to do work, you can concentrate on your studies, and do whatever is pleasant. So Swami Rama went out, and he bought about five Mercedes, you know, and he paid five houseboys, you know, to polish his shoes, to take care of his clothes, to make his meals, to do all that stuff, you know. And he got himself a lovely house in the city, a house or a big apartment, whatever it was.
Silk and suits. And silk suits.
Yeah, that comes. And he had this so that he had a lovely place to live. And then, after wearing a loincloth all of his life, growing up as a student of the master, he bought himself a dozen or more pairs of silk suits, of silk suits that were of the highest quality and the highest price. But you see, when you live in the consciousness of who you are, and the master didn't care what Swami spent that money for, he had much more where it came from. He didn't care. He didn't even use what he had. And Swami Rama, he had to go through that spend and have fun and realize that that doesn't bring you any benefits. He had to go through that experience, and he went through it. And he came to that conclusion. And I met him at the Benninger Foundation, and it was quite a glorious experience because he was so capable of his meditation procedures. Well, anyhow, you see, whatever you love is what you see in the world. And if whatever you love belongs to you forever. And if you ever stop loving something, you can be sure it will disappear. If you ever stop loving your husband or wife, or your children, or your world, or your business, or your experiences, whatever they may be, your pets, whatever, they will disappear. And you will be reft, that's the word meaning, you will be left alone. You will be without anybody to share that love with. You understand? You'll be without anyone to share that love with. Now, I want each of you to lovingly love me and lovingly realize that I want to acquiesce to all of your desires and see them done, but you have to feel that you love it, i.e., you have to feel that you're worthy of it. If you don't feel you're worthy of something, you'll never have it. Even if somebody gives it to you, you won't be worthy of it. You cannot use it to the fullest. You understand? Now, every day we have our sessions here, 3 a day, and we have this beautiful tall candlestick, and this beautiful tall candle, and it's set right in the middle of the table, right in front of Ingeborg's face, and I set it on either side, and it's right in front of anybody else's face. And the candle's lovely, but we also have some very nice short candles, big, fat, short candles that burn forever, and we could set one of those right in the middle of the table, and it would never disturb anything, and it would be a lovely symbol of light that we like to have there. So, rather than fight the tall candle and try to put it here and put it there and duck your head around it to look at people around the table with the tall candle in the middle, have the short candle and have it glowing there and call it, if you like, the Christ candle. Or call it, if you like, my love candle. What I love forever. I love the light. I love the glow. I love the warmth. I love the imagination that I have when I look at the candle flame. I love the enthusiasm that I have when I light the candle and say, oh, that's nice. You see, let your life be so filled with what you love that everything is fun and good and very good. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.